You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, I'm your inner dream monologue. And you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hello, this is Tim Rice. Welcome to my podcast, Get Onto My Cloud. This is episode 15, Londal. This episode of Get Onto My Cloud features my first serious flop, but I still thoroughly enjoy the show and above all the work of the composer, the late Stephen Oliver. The show is called Blondel. It's a tale set in the 12th century and was introduced on stage by a quartet of monks who acted as narrators throughout the show, played by the superb vocal quartet Cantabile, also known as the London Quartet. Let them explain what the audiences were in for.
Come back with us to the Middle Ages and hear the story we've rehearsed. A heartwarming story of a medieval minstrel by the name of Blondel and the monarch he served so faithfully, King Richard the First. Richard the Lionheart, in French, Coeur de Lion, was, however, the name by which he was known at the time, because, after all, it was 1189, and nobody had heard of Richard II, let alone Richard III.
Gasp with amazement
as the foundations of Plantagenet society are rocked by the gentle twanging of a lute. To the tale of a talented troubadour who became a crusade's most unusual recruit.
Quiver
with emotion through Blondel's desperate five-nation quest with the woman he loved in hot pursuit.
Throb
with anticipation
as the most ruthless killer stalks the king
with intent to execute.
Benedictus,
all this and more we shall reveal to you, and long before our tale of Blondel is through, you'll understand that a composer's lot is sometimes grand, but far more often is not.
No one in King Richard's court appreciated Blondel.
He, however, knew he'd write.
All he longed to do was write. He was overdue to write a million-selling Rondel.
I was very lucky at the start of my career in musical theatre, in that after one full start, when Andrew Lloyd Webber and I were just beginning, we had three seriously successful hit musicals on the trot. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Jesus Christ Superstar, and Evita. For the best part of 10 years from 1970, we barely put a foot wrong. I don't think I was totally complacent, but after that lot, I did begin to think that I knew how to survive in the musical shark pool. Wrong, as my next foray into the West End was to prove. After the establishing of Evita in the late 70s, beginning with the studio recording of 1976 and culminating with the Broadway opening in late 1979, which incidentally was slaughtered by the New York critics, but not by the New York public, the nitty-gritty question was, clearly, what next? Frankly, I didn't really have a clue. Andrew and I had played around with a deliberately modest idea featuring the love life of a young woman across two continents, in which Elaine Page would play the lead, probably as a TV show, or maybe as a chamber theatrical piece. Although we did have one meeting with a TV company and wrote about 1.5 songs, it never got going and was sunk for good as far as I was concerned when Andrew decided to pursue the idea with Don Black writing the words. The result of this union was the UK hit album Tell Me on a Sunday featuring Marty Webb. I did at least get one of my rejected lyrics from this doomed project to Elton John, who wrote a great tune to the Legal Boys, one of the songs, for his Jump Up album, and that brief association could well have been a factor in his agreeing to work with me on The Lion King many years later. So my expulsion from what became Tell Me on a Sunday was possibly, in the end, a really lucky break for me. I'm sure I was a bit miffed at the time, but I honestly can't remember. Andrew's idea for his next big proper musical extravaganza was Cats. I thought this was a barking idea for a show, if barking is the right adjective for a cat show. But more relevant to my immediate situation was that this project did not need a lyricist, as the words were already written by the late T.S. Eliot, whose collection of poems, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, set to ALW's music, was the show. Clearly an insane idea for a musical, I thought. How wrong can you be? Anyway, Andrew was set on Cats and there was no role for me, although I briefly, and against my better judgment, agreed at the 11th hour to write a lyric for the one original non-T.S. Eliot song that eventually became Memory, with someone else's words. Nonetheless, I'm still often congratulated by total strangers, usually at airports, for writing it. Sometimes I accept the praise with tact and gratitude. Sometimes I go grumpy and say I didn't feel my words for Memory were very good. In fact, my words were okay, the original ones I wrote, but never quite finished. That's really a story for another podcast, but for sure not here. So, while Andrew was in the cattery, what should I do next? And who with? In 1977, I'd gone to Australia to participate in the Sydney Arts Festival, and one of my fellow performers was the classical composer Stephen Oliver. He was a most civilized, witty, and amusing man, and we got on very well from day one. In his all-too-short life, he wrote as many as 40 operas, as well as being a radio broadcast of wit and wisdom. John Oliver, the well-known US TV personality stroke comedian, is Stephen's nephew and bears a remarkable physical similarity to him. Stephen died in 1992. I had long felt that the story of Blondel, the medieval minstrel who allegedly roamed around Europe searching for the imprisoned King of England and chunks of France, Richard the Lionheart, was the basis for a funny, light-hearted musical somewhat along the lines of Joseph. Andrew and I had actually written an oratorio together, post-Joseph but before Superstar, entitled Come Back Richard, Your Country Needs You, which was centred more around King Richard than Blondel, but basically had as the centrepiece of the work Blondel's quest to find his missing monarch. We're talking 12th century Europe here. Richard, and this is fact, returning from a crusade to the Holy Land, had been locked up by the Duke of Austria, who wanted a hefty ransom for his release. The story that a court musician, Blondel, found out where the king was by playing his greatest hits outside every castle prison in Europe is slightly less strongly authenticated. Come Back Richard, Your Country Needs You got nowhere after one school performance. The title song is featured in my Get Onto My Cloud podcast episode 7, if you're desperate to hear it. But I'd still felt the story had legs, but with Blondel the hero rather than Richard. I kept in touch with Stephen back in England simply because he was such a nice guy. When Cats reared its furry head, I realised that if I was going to write a show in the early 80s, it was not going to be with ALW. I asked Stephen, who at the time was working on music for the staging of Nicholas Nickleby for the Royal Shakespeare Company, if he'd be interested in going down market by writing what I hoped would be a popular musical. He readily agreed, even when I told him my idea was Blondel. We began working on the show in late 1981, and it eventually premiered at the Theatre Royal Bath in 1983. The writing was great fun, and I loved Stephen's tuneful yet sophisticated music. Where the piece fell down was largely my fault. The basic storyline was more or less clear most of the way through, but there was a lot of complex exposition that was not really vital and slowed things down. The portrayals of Blondel and his girlfriend Fiona, a totally fictitious creation, were not always sympathetic. They were arguing in scene one and had made up by scene four, so there was not much of a plausible dramatic arc in their relationship. The characters that really worked were King Richard and his ghastly brother Prince John. Richard had gone missing when returning from his crusade, having fought the Middle Eastern despot Saladin, and John was determined to seize the throne. Here, King Richard, Stephen Tate, in jail in Austria, muses about the good old days of battle with Saladin in his song Saladin Days, while John, David Burt, in England, reckons his accession to the throne is only a motion away in his song I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Oh, the shame to be shackled like this. I'm a lonely chained male. Not the sort I'd have thought who'd ever end up in jail. Saladin days, those are the times I miss. Those were the days. Oh, it's such bliss to reminisce. Instant replays. Saladin days. I recall every brilliant campaign, every military ploy, and I dream of the team who made crusading a joy. Saladin days. Me and my knights so bold. Those were the days. Oh, but the story should be told. We were ablaze. Saladin day.
I'm a little closer every day to being monarch of all I serve. And I must confess, I'm prepared for the stress and strain. Wearing a crown won't get me down. Raring to reign, I just can't wait to be king. My dynasty's ready to swing. Hand me the orb and the ring. Bet your life that I'd accept a scepter. I can't wait to launch ships. Go walk about on overseas trips. It brings a smile to my lips to know I've made my term infirm. I'll see my face on a groat, on a pound note. I'll date an actress or two, be in who's who. I wish that brother of mine, arrogant swine, knew that his fatal mistake gave me my break.
I didn't make my term infirm.
King Richard and Prince John, Stephen Tate and David Burt. And yes, I did reuse the song title I Just Can't Wait to Be King for Simba in The Lion King, but not the rest of the lyric. Unlike composers who can shift tunes around from show to show with gay abandon, it's usually very hard or impossible to transfer a lyric from one show to another. So we words guys should grab the chance to do so whenever possible, even if it's only one line.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Blondell moved from Bath, great reviews, to Manchester, iffy reviews. Thence, the newly refurbished Old Vic in London, very iffy reviews. The music direction was by John Cameron. It was directed by Peter James, and it starred Paul Nicholas as the title character. Thence to the West End, where it ran for the best part of a year, so no disgrace, not a copper-bottomed flop, but it never quite captured the imagination of London theatregoers and hasn't had very many revivals since. The producer was Cameron McIntosh, no less, so I'm afraid I proved that even he was fallible. By mid-1983, I was heavily involved with writing Chess with Bjorn Ulvaeus and Benny Anderson, and Stephen had plenty of commitments too. By the end of the 80s, dear Stephen was ill, and opportunities for the two of us to tweak and maybe improve Blondell faded away. But the show had some great moments, and I've not given up hope of a reincarnation. For the moment, I still have happy memories of working with Stephen, and I still enjoy the score we wrote together for all its construction faults. There was a country-flavoured love song sung by Fiona, Sharon Lee Hill, called Running Back for More, and a spoof patriotic anthem entitled I'm a Monarchist, with which Blondell hoped to impress his king. Then there was a Begging for Forgiveness love song, sung by Blondell to Fiona, The Least of My Troubles.
I bring to your life. I watch myself hurt you without even trying. I cut you to ribbons, indifference, my knife. And I'm a fool. Oh, such a fool. Against me, and sometimes I blame all my failings on you. But you're my good fortune, the least of my troubles, the one I love most, the one that stays true. And I'm a fool. Oh, such a fool. The least of my troubles is right here beside me, and you deserve more than my dreams will allow. by crazy ambition. You have to remember the words I say now.
I love you so. I love you so.
Make you believe me's the least I can do.
The least of my troubles is knowing I want you and facing the fact I'm not much on my own.
Then I'd have troubles like I've never known.
I love you still.
I always will. I love you still. I always will. Always will. Always will.
Paul Nicholas in romantic mood with Sharon Lee Hill accompanying him. A beautiful Stephen Oliver melody. I shall close, if I may, with a tongue twister in which the superb David Burt as Prince John attempts to convince Blondel that he should be the subject of his songs rather than Richard. No rhyme for Richard.
How can anyone seriously write a song about Richard? Nothing rhymes with Richard. Think about it. You see, there's no rhyme for Richard, Richard, be suitable. You won't find a rhyme that'll fit. When rhyming with Richard, a hitch would be indisputable. Real Richard, my tip is to quit. But John, problems are gone. Observe how the rhymes flow. It's a phenomenon. When you write your chanson, it's easy with John. A name with no rivals. Well, maybe Yvonne. Whereupon I must now recommend you improve certain of John. I'll continue anon, for at our disposal's a whole lexicon. So poet, write on. For instance, there's Amazon and Oregon, although I do concede that in 1189 there are rhymes you may not need. My growing reputation from here to Runnymede gives you the chance to be the second venerable Bede. There's Mastodon, Automaton, and Don should not be missed. Hootsmon, Peron, Pantechnicon, can Richard match this list? I see no use for Skeleton, but on the other hand, the use of John with Paragon is nothing short of grand. There's Silicon and Venison and more at your command. Or Tarragon,
Accordion,
or Echelon,
Saskatchewan,
Iguanodon,
or Colon,
or Sri Lanka,
Ceylon,
Polygon, Garrison,
Wobegon,
Chiffon, Silly Midon. Oh, John,
and
each time I swan
Cameron
around this great kingdom, mere dicks are outshone.
Oh,
in comparison,
Hamilton,
others seem one. hangers on. So be gone to the hole where you write and erase every written inside. Won't you shout it for John? Sing in unison. Let the rest be consigned to. Time has come to spell it out, away with subtle hints. Yes, I propose that you compose a tribute to your prince. A rose by any other name, but John would smell a sweet. My time has come, prepared to storm you. Love this job, you have the perfect subject.
No rhyme for Richard. Looking back at this 37 years on, I find more to like than to be embarrassed by, and I still harbour hopes of a reworking and extended life for the show. Maybe that's being over-optimistic, but to have given some of these songs a fresh airing on this podcast has been fun. Not every show that works is all brilliant, and not every show that flops is all bad. If only we writers knew which bits were which before we let our epics loose on an unsuspecting public. That was episode 15 of my podcast, Get Onto My Cloud, written and presented by me, Tim Rice, and produced by Peter Hobbs.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.